Hey, welcome back, everybody. Coming to you from Equine O'Fair, Kentucky, this is the Horse Show Live, brought to you by Wall Clippers. And I'm very happy to welcome to our show Mr. Peter Moon of O2 Compost. Peter, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, did I say your company name right? O2
yes,
Compost?
Yes, O2 Compost, the letter O, the number 2, Compost, and our website is O2Compost.com.
That's very good. You got right to the website. I like that. He's a marketing guy. Now, O2, as I recall, isn't that the chemical symbol for oxygen?
Yes. Oxygen is the key to composting and maintaining aerobic conditions within the pile and optimizing the microbiologic conditions. It's simply a matter of inducing airflow through the mix.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to break it down just a little bit more for the folks. What is the value of compost? Well, first of all, let's make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. We talk about composting. We're talking about taking your horse's manure and putting it through a process that turns it into a useful fertilizer. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's not sold as a fertilizer as we think of a granulated product, but rather as a soil amendment. And because of the organic content and the microscopic organisms within it, it enhances the soil quality far more than just a pure fertilizer does.
Because it has so much of the organic stuff already built into it.
Exactly.
What are the chemicals that would be in compost? Like phosphorus or whatever?
NPK, nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus is certainly there. We have a wide spectrum of micronutrients and metals that are all required for healthy plant and healthy plant development.
Now, is all manure born equal, created equal in the sense that it's all got the same kind of chemical content?
Actually, no. There's a wide range of constituents within, say, poultry manure. It's very, very high nitrogen. Mink manure is very high nitrogen.
Did you call that mink?
Mink.
Like the animal
like
you make coats
mink
out of?
Mink soles,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
In compost with that, we refer to as jet fuel. Horse manure compost is actually extremely well balanced going in and coming out of the system, and it's extremely easy to compost simply because we have a proper balance of the carbon and nitrogen in the system. And makes a beautiful product in the end.
Why can't you just take your horse manure and spread it out right as it comes out of the horse, right out on your pasture, and just let it dry out and do its thing there? Why do you need to put it in a compost heap and do this process to it?
Let me answer that question indirectly. First of all, in the composting process, by inducing airflow, the byproduct of the composting process is carbon dioxide, water, and heat. We take advantage of the heat to destroy parasites, pathogens, and weed seeds in the material. So to answer your question, what we're effectively doing by going through a composting process is eliminating the parasites and pathogens and weed seeds that otherwise would be reintroduced into the pasture and get reconsumed by the animals, and thereby impacting their overall health and well-being.
That is a great explanation. I mean, the value then is obvious. You don't want to contaminate your pasture by adding those things back into it.
Exactly. And again, the weed seeds is a critical aspect. Whether you're putting it in your pasture or, in fact, producing a finished product that then you would sell out to the community, the homeowners, landscapers, nurseries, they do not want weed seeds in their mix, and the temperature derived from the composting process destroys all those weed seeds.
Well, you just hit on something there that I wasn't thinking of. I was just thinking of this as making my own compost to use around my own place, but it could actually become a money-making venture for you.
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Many of my clients, the larger operations, the larger facilities that don't have the land requirements often will go to a marketing venture, which I also help them set up so that they can take the expense of manure management and convert it into a new profit center for their farms.
So they actually will, in the long run, make money off of this? It's not just a matter of breaking even?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Typically, our training programs pay for themselves in 6 to 12 months. And from that point on, they're making money.
So you're out there selling training. You're selling information as well as, do you sell products as well?
I sell, the training program that I offer includes six features. A complete equipment package, which is a blower, a temperature probe, a timer to operate the blower, as well as some of the fittings that go into the system. It includes the engineering design for the facility, which is scaled specific to their needs. If it's a 4-horse farm or a 40-horse farm or 40-horse or 400-horse training facility, we scale it according to that. Our technical support, a training manual, we have laboratory tests that we run on the finished product, and then a marketing program that goes with it. So they understand how to approach the market and how to create a business entity or new profit center for their stable.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm sure there's misconceptions galore about this. And the two that I suspect that you can dispel for us right now is smell and flies.
Right.
What can you say about those two problems about keeping manure around?
In a muck pile, there is virtually no oxygen within that pile. And the byproducts of what's referred to as an anaerobic decomposition process tends to be very smelly. So if you get in there and you turn it, it tends to be very odorous. With aerobic composting, or inducing airflow through it and maintaining oxygen in the system, those compounds don't exist. And so we have mitigated odor as an issue. Also, in the composting process, we put a layer of finished compost, older compost, over the top, and that acts as what's called a biofilter. So any gases that are trying to come off of the pile are, in fact, being absorbed in that upper layer. And that layer is very important for four reasons, odor being one of them. The temperature is maintained in all of the raw materials, and as a result can come up to 131 degrees for a minimum of 3 days consecutively. That destroys parasites, pathogens, and weed seeds, as I said before. It also acts as a moisture barrier and as a fly barrier, so that any larva that's in the raw material reaches those temperatures very quickly and is cooked and effectively killed. And that layer of finished compost on the top does not attract the flies from the atmosphere.
Now, when I've talked to people about composting before, I remember there were always three bins. And I see in your brochure here, there are three bins. Is that a requirement of this system?
Three or more. And the way I operate it, to keep it as systematic as possible, is we size each of the bins or the compost bays to accommodate 2 to 3 weeks' worth of material. We fill it over the course of, let's say, 2 weeks. We turn the air on, we control the amount of oxygen that's getting into the system, and thereby control the process. As that's going on, we're filling the next bin. So over the course of the next 2 weeks, that second bin is filling, the first bin is composting. At the end of that 2 week period, we turn the oxygen on there, and we start filling the third bin. By the time the third bin is full, the first bin has been effectively composting for 4 weeks, it's pretty much done. So now we take it out, put it into a curing pile, and we start over. So what we're effectively doing is we're not turning the compost pile as most people think you need to do. In fact, the aeration process is all you need to do. You handle it one time in and one time out, and that's it.
Okay, how are you aerating it? You said fans. How are you doing that?
We have a blower that is set up on a manifold with simple valves, and those direct the oxygen into the base of the bin, and the air flows up and through it.
Oh, okay. So if you were looking at look at this before anything had been put into it, would you see some kind of grating on the floor?
Exactly, a slatted floor. A
slatted floor, and so the forced air comes up through that.
Through that.
Kind of forces its way through that.
Exactly, and it works on all scales. That's one of the beauties of this method of composting is, again, you don't have to handle it more than the one time in and the one time out. We have a system in Santa Ana, California that's as small as 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. Each bin holds 2.5 cubic yards. I have systems that range up to hundreds of feet long, each of the piles, and up to 12 feet tall. And again, this isn't just horse manure specific. It's any variety of organic waste material. Green waste can go into it. Food waste can go into it. Municipal biosolids and so forth.
So can you mix, for instance, if you have dogs or you have other animals, can you put their manure in this with horse manure?
You can. You have to be cautious about how you use those end products, because they do eat meat, you really want to stick with...
Keep them separate.
The herbivore waste as much as possible.
Peter, what does your company do for horse owners?
We provide the design specific to their needs, and then they construct the system with materials that they purchase locally.
Okay.
What we provide are the mechanical components, the blower, the timer, the temperature probe, and the valving system.
What does the temperature probe do?
Temperature, in the training program, we have a very prescriptive method of monitoring the process in order to assure that all of the material within the bin reaches temperature to destroy pathogens and parasites and weed seeds. This is part of the training program such that they begin to understand, my clients understand what the cause and effect is by adjusting the amount of air, the frequency that the blower turns on and off, the amount of air that goes in, and how the temperature then responds to that. What's interesting about composting is hotter is not better. It's not like cooking. If you get much over 155, 160 degrees, which is really quite easy to do, it actually slows the process down and can lead to other problems. Fire is never an issue in these systems, but slowing the process down, and actually you can create odors at very high temperatures, 180, 185 degrees. So by increasing the amount of airflow, we're displacing the hot air in the pile out with cooler air and bringing the pile temperature down.
That's how you control the temperature,
exactly.
By the amount of air that's moving through.
Exactly.
Rather than trying to heat it up somehow, it's by how much you're trying to cool it down.
Right. It really doesn't take much air to get the pile temperature to go up. As a matter of fact, when I designed the bin system originally, the first bin that I put together, I let the material sit for 14 days with no air, and the pile temperature averaged around 90, 95 degrees. I turned the air on, and typical cycle time would be 3 minutes running time every 15 or 20 minutes. Within 12 hours, that pile was up to 160 degrees.
Wow.
It happens very, very quickly.
So that's interesting. So adding the air to it actually causes an increase in temperature.
Exactly. Because of the microbiologic activity, heat being one of the byproducts
generating
of that
heat
activity.
As a result of the reaction
right.
There. So if you wanted to keep it from overcooking, like we were talking about before, do you just reduce the amount of air that you're putting through it?
Typically, we increase the amount of air. And that
it's
displaces.
It's a little counterintuitive.
It's exactly right. And what we're doing is a biologic process going in with a small amount of air, and then it's a thermomechanical process by displacing that excess heat. Goes from a biologic process to an engineering
You're
process.
You're very good at this. You're very good at explaining
well,
this.
You know what's interesting about it is it's really
horse
very
manure
simple.
Is your life, I
yeah.
suppose. I'm sorry,
so
go
speak.
Ahead.
So
go
to speak.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It can become very, very technical, but it can also be very simple to the degree that by understanding a very few number of principles, basically three, one, the mix of materials going in has to be right, moisture content, the carbon to nitrogen ratio, horse manure as it comes out is perfect for composting. The more wood that we have as in bedding, the more of a challenge it becomes. So the mix is the number one item, oxygen is the number two item, and time. It does take about 30 days to go through a composting cycle in order to really produce a high-quality finished product. Now,
do you put any moisture into it? Do you wet it down ever in this process?
Oftentimes, where we're in arid climates, we do need to pay very close attention to the amount of moisture going in as we're building the pile. You cannot take a large pile and wet it after the pile has been constructed.
Okay.
So we need to pay close attention to how much water is going into the system, but that just becomes a daily part of the process. As we're mucking out the stalls, in the case of horse manure, and we're putting that material into the bin, we can very easily hose it down as part of our daily routine,
right.
And that's all it takes.
You know, I live in Arizona, in Phoenix, and it's very, very dry there. It's also, the ground we have there is very sandy, so I use no shavings at all, no
Perfect.
Bedding at all with my horses, because it just the urine soaks right into the ground. So would that actually be better than if it had a lot of bedding in it?
Absolutely. Straight
okay.
manure is perfect.
That's the better way to go. Okay. What is the biggest misconception you think people have about composting?
That turning the compost is exactly what you need to do. What in fact is interesting about turning compost, one, it takes a lot of time and effort. Two, you're losing a lot of heat and moisture to the environment. But three, once you've turned it and introduced oxygen into the system, that oxygen is actually gone in 30 to 45 minutes. So you are always dealing with an anaerobic system, which is a
disadvantage. It's a wasted effort, basically.
It's a wasted effort.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And that's why your fan system works so well. It's easy to imagine that composting would work well when you've got a kind of a warm climate. What about cold climates?
I have a client, for example, in Conifer, Colorado. It's 8,000 feet. We started a compost system in December. Snow and ice everywhere. And within, again, 12 hours, the pile temperature was up just exactly where we wanted it. We have to be very careful how much air we put into it, because if it's very cold, it can cool the pile off, and because cold air tends to be very dry, it can suck all the moisture out and stop the process. This last winter, we started up two systems in Nova Scotia where the temperature was ranged between zero and minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And there again, with an 8 cubic yard bin system in contact with the ground, it worked beautifully. We had an example of where it didn't work, and that was up in Minnesota. And because my client didn't want to put the system in the ground, he built it up on skids so that free air could get underneath it. And because we didn't have the insulation of the ground, the manure froze solid until spring. But that was only because the ground was not in contact and it didn't provide insulation to the mix.
Now, when it thawed out in the spring, could you just go right ahead with composting?
We just fired it up and off we went.
Okay, what about the finished composted manure? It's in its newer form now, environmentally friendly and valuable as a fertilizer. What kinds of things is it appropriate to fertilize?
Well, let me.
I keep saying fertilize. I know that's not the right word.
That's fine.
It's like a soil amendment.
Exactly right.
Okay.
It's a soil amendment, top dressing. In the composting process, you're going to be losing 25 to 30% of your volume. Each horse, rule of thumb, produces 1 cubic yard of manure per month for planting purposes, plus the amount of bedding that goes into it. So the type of bedding and the amount of bedding will help determine the quality of the finished product. Now, to answer your question, you can put it straight out onto your pastures after 30 days without fear of reintroducing parasites, pathogens, or weed seeds. If you wait an additional 30 to 60 days, you'll have a well-cured product, and that is beautiful for home use, for gardens. The folks that get really excited about it are the garden club members, the horticultural societies, master gardeners through the University Extension. And what I have found in the marketing side is our clients often wonder, what are we going to do with all this compost when we produce it? And in the end, they come back and say, how can I produce it fast enough? Because these people want it, and I can't get it to them fast enough.
Yeah, good problem to have. Well, is it appropriate for using if you're raising food for human consumption?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely safe for that. Generally, you will use 25 to 30% compost mixed into the soil. So if you go out there and till your soil in the spring, you'll put in a couple of inches and then till it into a depth of 6 inches. It's actually better to put the compost into the soil in the fall and allow the microorganisms to really establish themselves through the winter time, and then as the soil begins to heat up during the early spring and become vibrant and ready to go. And as I say with some of these composts, plant seeds, stand back.
All right, my guest has been Mr. Peter Moon, the owner, and I suppose, have you invented any of this? I mean, is this like your invention? Or
The method of composting was actually developed in the early 70s by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to treat human waste, biosolids composting. I do a lot of design for those types of systems as well as industrial systems, but I repackaged it and I put together the training program specific to the horse industry. So I guess in that sense I invented that part of it, the method of delivery, if you will. I didn't invent the science or the engineering principles.
That's
behind
probably been around for a long, long time.
It definitely has. Definitely has.
All right, my guest again, Peter Moon of O2 Compost, the website O2Compost.com, correct?
Exactly.
Peter, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
Today.
Thanks, Rick.